I'd like to invite you tonight over to the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 18. Romans chapter 6, verse 18. Romans chapter 6, verse 18 reads this way. It says, "Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we thank you for the privilege again of gathering together tonight in your house. Lord, for the understanding that you are in our very midst. And so, Lord, we call upon you and ask you to guide the service tonight and control it with your Holy Spirit. Guide us into your truth that we might worship you in truth and spirit, that you would be honored and glorified, and, Lord, that we would understand more about the salvation that you've given to us, and that we might experience your grace in a greater way. Bless, Lord, and we'll thank you, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, "Free from Sin, the Servants of Righteousness." Free from sin, the servants of righteousness. And so really what we're looking at tonight is the key to abiding in Christ. Remember what the Lord said in John chapter 15? If we abide in him, we could do all things. That's basically what he said. If we don't abide in him, without him, we can do absolutely nothing. So God is wanting us to understand the importance of abiding in him. And so we're going to look at a couple of thoughts tonight. We're going to look at the reckoning. We're going to look at God be thanked for the gift of God. And then also God's illustration, the captivity and deliverance. And deliverance experience. That's what God wants us to enjoy and to have and to understand. And I want to remind you about something here. The Lord, in the book of Romans, through the Apostle Paul, is speaking to believers. This is important to understand. This is, I'm going to say, probably the greatest struggle that the believer fights to understand. The greatest difficulty that we face in understanding the relationship that God wants to have in our lives. And let me just wrap it up in a nutshell like this. The easiest thing to do is to realize that we cannot do it, but God wants to do it for us. And that is really, I don't understand it. I battled that. I'm understanding it more now than ever before, but I want you to know I am just scratching at this truth, at the surface of this truth. And this is where we're really liberated and where we can experience the grace of God that he wants us to have. Paul was not having a difficulty here that other believers don't have. He wasn't facing something specific in his life. His battle was with himself. You're going to notice the personal pronoun that is very prevalent here that he was battling. And you're going to see something here that I think is very powerful tonight. So let's look, first of all, at the reckoning. And the word reckon there means, it's a banking term that means to put to one's account. All right? So when you see that word to reckon there, he's saying that I want you to understand this has been provided for you. Realize that it's in your account, because if you don't reckon this to be so in your life, you will never enjoy it. It's like if you have $10,000 in a bank account that you don't know about. Now, I would dare say, I don't think anybody has experienced that. But you never know. You have heard of people that a long-lost relative has left them some money. That could cause problems, maybe, or it could be a blessing. It could be either way. But with the Lord, God is wanting us to understand this great, precious prize, gift, that God has given to us. So let's look at verse 5 in chapter 6, and notice what he says here in this reckoning. He says this, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death," and here's what he wants us to reckon, "we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection." Now that's not, that is present tense. That is not in the future when we see the Lord. That is right now, and you'll see that. "Knowing this," and again, remember what we talked about knowledge, it's having a revelation and being convinced of something that is applicable, that we have now gained more information and we can walk in that truth. And so he wants us to know, "knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed." Now that word might there is not that it might happen, but that it would take place. That henceforth we should not serve sin. Now here's the difficult part. We cannot look to ourselves. God is not asking us to look to ourselves. He's asking us to understand what was done because of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This has already been given to us. If we think we have to do this, we're going to miss out on what God is trying to reveal here. So notice what he says here, verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Do you see what he's saying right there? So if we believe that we died with Christ, did we die with Christ? Isn't that what the Bible says? That as Christ was buried, we also were buried. And then just as Jesus Christ rose again, we also should rise also and have been risen to walk in the new life. So he says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him. Notice again, knowing. So ignorance is the key ingredients to failure if we don't know. So he doesn't want us to be ignorant. He wants us to know. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Now verse 11 is critical. Likewise, and here's that banking term, put this into your account is what the Holy Spirit is saying. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Now, the death took place because of the salvation of God. You don't have to say, okay, I need to die to sin. I need to die to sin. I need to die to sin. No, if you're saved, you already died to sin. The problem is understanding that our death was in Christ. So if our death was in Christ, our life also is, guess where? In Christ. Does that make sense? Don't beat yourself up thinking that you have to do something or perform something. No, it's all of the Lord. This is the liberating part, and this is really the power of God's people today for his church. So he says, likewise, just as he just laid out this whole truth for us, and then he says, put yourself in the same place. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. And then notice what he says, here's the vehicle, through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's where our life is at. So because of that, verse 12, he says, let not sin therefore, because of that, what was therefore, reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Now, here's what we need to be careful about. God has to bring us into that truth, and he wants to. What we need to realize is it's not in our hands. It's the work of God. We have to come to the place to where we say, Lord, I'm hearing what you're saying. And I know, can we in our own strength overcome sin? Nope. If we could, Jesus Christ wouldn't have had to come. But because we could not overcome it, and because he came, and because we received him as our Savior, he said, this is the gift that you've been given. Not just eternal life, but we have been liberated in the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to be a peculiar people. He wants us to be different than the world. The world ought to look at your life and mine by the grace of God and see a difference. That's the work of God. Don't take that upon yourself thinking, okay, because I love the Lord and I believe you do, I'm going to be different. We missed it. I say we missed it because that was my outlook. I am going to, bless God, I am going to be different because I love my Savior. I'm still operating in my strength, and that's the problem. And so he says, because of that, don't let sin, that's the reckoning, that's the understanding, that comes to us by the salvation that he's given to us. Now remember, listen, all the apostles, except for Judas, were saved. Were they not? All right. But they were still failing in that understanding. And it wasn't till after the resurrection that they began to walk in that understanding. And I want you to know, listen, it can be many years, and I'm afraid to say that a lot of believers don't feel bad. I'm going to tell you, I've been probably some 20 plus years not understanding this truth. Preached out of it, understood it to a certain degree, but I thought it was all up to me. And we'll meet with utter failure. We won't see the consistency of the grace of God in our life. We'll only be able to handle how many crying babies? Remember that illustration? We can handle maybe one or two crying babies, but God can handle an infinite amount. In other words, we can put up with so many difficulties in our life, but the grace of God will control them all. Does that make sense? I gave the illustration of a crying baby because we had one child that came home from the hospital after being born, and we didn't know what the matter was. And I'm telling you, what time was it in the morning? 2 o'clock, she didn't forget. I was thinking 2 o'clock in the morning. We were living in St. James, and in tears, my wife called her mom. And the doctor said, I'll just tell you the story. The doctor said, you need to make sure she was breastfeeding. Don't supplement or you're not going to have the milk for her. Well, her mom came over and knew like that what the matter was. She put a bottle in that baby's mouth, and she was happy. She wasn't getting the milk, the nourishment that she needed. And then she got quiet. Listen, I was so thankful for my mother-in-law. I always am, but I was really thankful. Who, at 2 o'clock in the morning, made a 30-minute drive to come and help us out. And I was so thankful. My wife was too. And I don't know if Jessica remembers that evening, but that was something else. So we can only handle so many crying babies. I'm telling you, I was at my wit's end. My heart was going out, and I was helpless. Didn't know what to do. I didn't know that we were going to get help. I could not believe, I think my wife was impressed too, that it was such a simple fix. And the problem was resolved. Do you know that the Lord knows the answer for you and I? Isn't that something? We can try and struggle and try to figure it out. Listen, if you are having a difficult time, if you are struggling in your walk with the Lord, bring it to the Lord. We try, and we're going to try harder, and we're going to try harder. And God says, when you're ready, call me, and I'll show you how it's done. And here it is. So we see the reckoning. Now I want you to go over to verse 17 here, and I want you to see God be thanked for the gift of God. Look at verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. So the thanksgiving is to the Lord that ye believed in your heart concerning the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning the work of God, being then made free from sin. And you might be saying, but wait a minute, I'm not free from sin. I am still battling sin. What is the problem? Well, the problem is with our understanding what has been given to us. And the problem is, when we focus on ourselves, that's where the problem is. Instead of looking to... Listen, do you believe this? We can rest in God's great faithfulness. God is faithful even if we are not. Let that soak in. To the child of God, that's not a license to sin. This is the truth. Because God is faithful, He holds you in His hand. We read that this morning, and no man can take you out. Is that eternal security? That's eternal security. Nobody can take you out of the hand of God. God won't even, He won't ever let you go. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And He said that knowing who we are. Isn't that amazing? And by the way, He loves His own more than you love your own family. Let that sink in. He loves you and your family more than you love your own children. Now that's the truth, because I had a lot of good friends, and I would not give up one of my kids if I could for their freedom. And yet God gave me His Son and you His Son as well. All right, so watch this now. Follow very carefully here. God be thanked for this gift. Let's look at the gift. Being then made free from sin, and you might be thinking, but I'm not free from sin. That's okay. Hold that thought. Ye became the servants of righteousness. Now God is looking at this as already having taking place. Is He not? All right, so keep following now. It's okay not to understand things. Just walk in that truth. Just follow the Lord in this, right? Just follow the Lord in this and say, okay, So there is a problem. I'm still battling sin, and that's true. But notice what he says here. I speak, verse 19, after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. Praise the Lord. Can we all not say we have the infirmity of the flesh? For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and we have, and in case you don't know what uncleanness is, selfishness, self-centeredness, selfishness, and everything falls in line. When we're selfish, who are we thinking about? Ourselves. And is that not our nature? That's our nature, but we've been given a new nature. Now watch this. So he says this, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. Just, and all you had to do was walk in that path. All you had to do, listen, and then all of a sudden it started bearing fruit. Have you ever done something that cost you more than you wanted to pay? And you didn't even plan on it. Isn't that amazing? Bad things, right? Take you further. Being younger and thinking that you can lie yourself out of something and it just makes it worse. It's just like you can't keep up with the story. Right? And it bears its own. Isn't that amazing? Listen, the same way as you step into the righteousness of God, it will start bearing fruit. God will start bearing fruit and it will multiply. And you will, he's saying it's just like that. He's saying, if you will understand this, and he's getting ready to explain it here, okay? So watch this. So he says, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Now watch what he says here. But now, not tomorrow, but now, being made free from sin. Are you free from sin? Have you been saved? Okay, if you're saved, you have been made free from sin. You may just not be experiencing it right now, and you may not be walking in it right now, and he is wanting us to understand this important truth. Again, I want to remind you, this part of Scripture here was written to believers, not to the lost world. For us to understand the deliverance and the victory that we have in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, all we have to believe is this. Ready? When God freed the Israelites out of Egypt, he didn't just bring them out to wander in the wilderness, did he? Did he have a place? Did he have a destination in mind? Was it called the Promised Land? Was it called a place that flowed with milk and honey? Was it called a place where they would rest? So likewise, when you and I were brought out of the world into the Lord Jesus Christ, did he not call us a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the works of God in our lives? But wait, it's the working of God, not ours. And that's where the mistake and that's where the problem is made. And listen, God knows the problem, and he's going to explain that here. Okay? So notice what he says, verse 22, but now being made free from sin, and that's what we have to understand. This has already happened. We have just missed how it works. We have to understand this. It has already taken place, so we just need to understand it. We don't have to ask God to perform it. It's already been done because of salvation. So when somebody wants to trust the Lord as their Savior, do we tell them, now you should pray to Jesus that he should die for your sins and then you could believe on him? Or do we tell them to believe on the Lord because he already died for their sins? So listen, in our salvation, we have already been given the deliverance. We're just not understanding the deliverance. And you're going to see the struggle here in the battle that every believer has. I'm convinced of this. And what happens is we get frustrated and we say, well, we settle to this. I'm just not perfect. Isn't that what we do? It's what we say. I'm not perfect. No, but our God is holy. And he said he wants us, he will enable us to be holy. Let me say that again. He will enable us to be holy. And when we don't see the holiness of God in our lives, it's not that we need to try harder. It's that we're not connected. We're not understanding that we can walk in that liberty that he wants us to walk in. So watch this here. He says, verse 22, "But now being made free from sin and become the servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." Did you see that? So if you're saved, we should have fruit unto holiness. So what that should cause us to do is to, and by the way, remember what Jesus talked about bearing fruit? We have to abide in him if we're going to bear fruit. We can't just bear fruit of ourselves, and that's really the problem. We're trying to do it in our energy, and God is saying it's not going to happen that way. So God, open up my understanding as to how you want it to take place. Is it possible that I have studied the Word of God for this many years and have missed what God was trying to say? Absolutely. Listen, the disciples were right in front of the Lord and missed it. And that's all right. And by the way, forget about yesterday. Praise God that we can understand it today and tonight specifically. All right, so watch this. He tells us this. This has already happened. And you have your fruit unto holiness at the bottom of verse 22 and the end everlasting life. And then he says this in verse 23. We use this to tell lost people how to get saved. And that's applicable here. I'm not saying there's anything wrong. But I want you to know he's talking to believers when you read this verse here, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. What does that mean? That doesn't mean you're going to die and lose your salvation because we're in his hands. But we're walking in death when we've been given the life of Christ. And it should not be. And so, why would we walk in death if we've been given life? Why, listen, if the prison doors have been open, it would behoove us to walk out. If we've been unchained, we should walk in liberty and in freedom. And that's what it's really all about. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. Have you received the gift of God? It's eternal life. And how is that? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now watch this. God gives us an illustration, and this is amazing. Look at verse 1. And look at that word know there. He does not want us to be ignorant, does not want us to be without knowledge. Know ye not, brethren. So we know it's believers, right? The world is not brethren. We want them to be brethren. We want them to be saved. But he's talking to believers. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. Now watch God's illustration. Ready? We're talking about the law, are we not? Now watch this. The law is the husband. And we are the wife. Watch this. For the woman, verse 2, which hath an husband, is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. Now here's the problem. The law is the husband. The law will never die. We've got a problem. Because God wants us married to somebody else. You're going to see that right here. It's the Lord. But we've got a problem because our husband is never going to die. So what might we do? What can possibly happen now? Somebody has to die. Oh, we have died in Christ. Now watch this. Ready? For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law, verse 2, to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. Can't do that. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also... Oh, wait. Who's dying here? Ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Did you see who's dying here? That ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. What is God talking about here? Is he not giving us the key to bearing fruit? Let that soak in. Is he not showing us how to walk in his holiness and in his righteousness? It's his work. All we have to do is to reckon that we've died with Christ. And by the way, listen, here's a good way to do it. God, reveal that to me. Help me to understand that I have been set free. Listen, somebody had to die And praise God, because of the grace of God, it was me. I died that I might be married to another. Isn't that what we just read? Let's look at that again. Verse 3. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead. Remember, the law can't die. There's nothing wrong with the law. It's just a hard taskmaster. It's perfect. We're not. We had to be redeemed. And the way that that came from was by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he died, that's why it's so important that we understand we died with him. And that was what set us free to be married to another. Now watch this. Verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead. Can that be any clearer? That we should bring forth fruit unto God. The key is that he will bear fruit through us, through our lives, that his fruit would be born because of that truth, because of that understanding. That is the key to understanding how we abide in Christ. Now watch this in verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. And by the way, listen, if we rest in our strength, we're going to be frustrated because we will not overcome sin. The only way we can overcome sin is to understand that we died in Christ. And I don't have to do anything to abide other than just to understand I am in Christ. And now I can submit myself, and now I can say, okay, Lord, bear your fruit. I am not going to try to do it. I can't do it. Imagine this. Don't confess tonight. How imperfect are we? Don't raise your hand. Ask a couple questions. Have you ever been mad when you shouldn't have been mad? Have you ever been selfish when you shouldn't have been selfish? Are you capable of doing that again? And the answer is, for me and all of that, yes. Right? Can you keep in front of your sin? The nature, your old man to sin, can you? So God is not saying, okay, now, pick up this load, figure out everywhere you can fail, and boy, oh boy, keep the spotlight on it so that you really are careful how you walk, that you don't fall. We're never going to make that. But if we understand the truth that we're in Christ and we're dead in Christ and he's going to bear his fruit, you don't have to, if Christ is bearing his fruit in your life, then you don't have to be on guard. He is. He's going to bear the fruit. When the pressure's turned on, the Holy Spirit is going to bear peace, long-suffering, and we're going to just be the recipients of it. God was bringing them into the promise to enjoy what was already made for them. We have also been brought in Christ to the place where everything has already been prepared. Come and dine, the Master says. He calls. Come and dine. The table's already been set. All we have to do is ask God to help us understand that we might walk in that truth that has already... You don't have to ask God to provide that. It's already been provided. We just have to understand that it's there for us. All right, so follow me here. Verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein is we were held, that we should serve in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So the spirit is paramount here. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? He says, God forbid. No, it's not sin. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So he says, that was a revelation. There's nothing wrong with the law. We have to die to it, that we might be liberated. So God is not, listen, if you looked at every commandment of God in the Word of God, that you might be careful to carry it forth, you're never going to do it. We're never going to do it. God says, that's not liberty. That's bondage. But if we'll understand that we have been liberated in the Lord, and He is the one, the Holy Spirit is the producer of the fruit, then we can rest in that. And then we say like this, ready, Lord? I'm ready for you. I'm asking you today, bear your fruit. I am presenting myself a living sacrifice. You do the work. I'm wanting to walk in that truth. Listen, it's that simple. It's already been provided for. You don't have to ask God to do it. All you have to do is say, Lord, I want to walk in that. I want to walk in that promise that you've given. So when two or three are gathered together, is it not good for them to call upon the Lord and to say, Lord, we acknowledge your presence. Bless, Lord. Right? Lord, we acknowledge your truth. And here's what happens. Listen, when we experience that, we give thanksgiving unto the Lord. Does that honor the Lord? When we say, okay, Lord, today, right now, I want to experience that. And if there's a problem, if there's a setback, or if there's a glitch, or if sin, then realize at that moment you were not looking to the Lord, you were not resting in Him, because a problem certainly is not with the promise of God, it's with our approach to it. We either do it in our strength, or we rest in God's finished work. Okay, very quickly. Now watch this. We've seen this illustration. Now I want you to see the captivity and deliverance. Look at, you're in chapter 7, look at verse 15. Now, I didn't take the time to count the personal pronoun there. Plural, personal pronouns. Excuse me, but here's what we're going to see. We will be in captivity as long as we do one thing, and that is to look to ourselves. Is there salvation in us? Is there deliverance in our strength? No. So listen, Paul is telling us the battle that every believer has. This is not some people say, oh, Paul was caught up in some sin here. Well, the truth is we all are caught up in sin until we're delivered, until we understand this deliverance. And Paul is explaining what happens in every believer's life. So verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. And notice a personal pronoun. You'll not see him mentioning the Holy Spirit here. For what I would, that I do not. Now, you know what he's saying right there? What every child of God says, why can't I overcome sin? I love the Lord. Why can't I overcome sin? I'm asking you that question. Can you give me the answer to that? The focus is wrong, isn't it? Why can't I overcome sin? What's my problem? I. So watch this. For that which I do, verse 15, I allow not. For what I would do, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Now, my goodness, this is almost comical. The personal pronoun problem here. Verse 15, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That is true. We didn't say that we don't battle sin. But his problem, our problem is I. The focus is wrong. For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh. Well, we all know that. Dwelleth no good thing. Cannot every child of God say amen to that? But the problem is to look to that and expect to have success or deliverance. For to will is present with me, isn't it? Oh, I want to, and God will never allow it because it's us doing it. To will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Isn't that amazing? It will always elude us. God will not allow it. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, I should have asked you the question at the beginning. Tell me, what do you think is the problem here that he is sharing with us? It's all full of self. Verse 20 again. If I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And could we not all say amen to that? For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Can we not say amen to that as well? But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now, he does business with God. Until we come to this place, we will never experience deliverance. Ready? Oh, wretched man that I am. Exclamation point. Just wanted to make sure I was seeing that right. That's an exclamatory remark, we would say, right? Big emphasis. So Paul is saying all this, and when he says to that, I think he raised his voice a little bit. And he says, here's the conclusion of the matter. I am a wretched man. And then he says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? All this I doing for the Lord. I love the Lord. I would do good for him, but I don't do it. Would you not agree every child of God says that? Oh, I would, God. But I can't, and I won't. And now he comes to this place where he says, who shall deliver me? He knew he came to this place where he realized he would never do it without deliverance. And so he says, "Who?" Verse 24, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And what's his answer? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Where's the answer at? In Jesus. There's the deliverance. If you want to ask God the question, how am I going to walk, how am I going to experience victory, realize that in us there's no good. But we're in Christ. And if we're abiding in Christ and looking to Christ to do that, okay, God, there's no patience in me. There's selfishness in me. I know that. So God, I'm not going to try to do what I cannot do that you've not asked me to do. But I do want to look to you who you've already told me. You've given it to me. You've promised it to me. Lord, help me to walk in that truth. Help me to understand that. Now watch this. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. I understand that. Now listen. It's a continuating thought. Look at verse 1 of chapter 8. There is therefore, because he came to the conclusion that he needed deliverance from God alone. He could not do it. He was struggling with trying to do the things that God wanted him to do, trying to produce the gentleness, the meekness, the fruits of the Spirit, and could not do it. He comes to the end of himself and he says, oh, wretched man that I am. That's a good place to be. That is the first step in the right direction. That we might see ourselves as never being able to produce one fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is His work and His alone. Until we get to that place, God will not share His glory with anybody. As much as He loves us, and He does because He gave us His Son, He'll not share His glory. But He will produce it through our lives. He does want us to be holy because He's holy. And that's the key right there. Be ye holy because he's holy. Not because you're holy, but because he will produce the holiness, the fruit of that. So, verse 1 now. Now we find deliverance experience. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So that's salvation, but specifically, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That is complete dependence on the Spirit. See, when we think walking in the flesh, we think walking in sin. Oh, no. Walking in the flesh is dependent upon our strength. We have none. When it comes to spiritual things, we have none. We're fooling ourselves. Oh, listen, you can do good things. Peter tried to do good things, didn't he? Did that make the Lord happy? No, it didn't, did it? Could we have possibly said, Lord, I'm going to do this for you, and the Lord's going, Nope. Missed it. Look at verse 2. Notice, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Remember, we have died in Christ. We can marry the Lord now. We can be set free. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, never do it. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Who's doing that work? The Spirit of God. Who walked not after the flesh, but after the what? What does that mean to walk after the Spirit? To be dependent upon him. To come to this place, I am a wretched man. And may I never put my hands on the things that are holy and thinking that I can do something with it that will be acceptable to God. But that I might realize that God is my righteousness and that God is my peace. That, listen, that is a revelation that we just have to call upon the Lord that I am convinced will cause us, God's fruit born in us will cause us to be a holy people. That the world will look at and say, you've got something I want. And that's going to be a fulfilled life. That's going to be a life that will be filled with the grace of God that the world needs. By the way, listen, that we can enjoy. That's our greatest possession of value. And it's eternal. Imagine that. Wouldn't you like to walk every moment of every day knowing that God is with you and you're with him? Not only that, but that you watch the Lord work in your life. And you would see all of a sudden, you'll see the grace of God throughout the day, and here's what you'll be doing. Ready? There's the Lord. Praise God. There's the Lord again. Thank you, Lord. There's the Lord again. Thank you, Lord. And you'll be walking. The world won't understand that. You'll be walking and you'll be enjoying the Lord. And they'll look at us and they'll say, they look like they're on another planet. They look like they're somewhere else. They're not in this world. We're not, are we? We're in it, but we're not of it. Listen. After the resurrection, Peter, James, and John... Peter didn't want to deny himself. Peter wanted nothing to do with suffering. Lord, far be it from thee. Read the book of 1 Peter and see how many times he talks about suffering for the Lord. In fact, in the book of Acts, he counted it worthy that he would suffer for the Lord. That was foreign to his vocabulary. Not only did... Listen. Come on. This is Peter now, and we're going to wrap it up here. Ready, Peter? Did that come out of my mouth? Did I really say that? Did I thought that was an honorable thing to suffer for my Savior? Yeah, that came out of me. Praise God. There's the Lord. Come on now, look. They're humans, all right? We put them on another plane. The other disciples were saying, did you hear what Peter? Was that Peter? No, that was the Lord in Peter. That was the Lord in Peter. And history tells us that he said he wasn't worthy to be crucified right side up. Flip me over. Wow. That's the grace of God, ready? That has been given to you and I, if we'll have it. Let's stand together as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word and for what you've given to us. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless Northwood Baptist Church with that understanding and that truth, that you might be glorified. And Lord, that we might experience your grace each and every day, and that we might be brought to the place by your grace to worship you and to thank you, Lord, for all that you do in and through us and all that you want to do. Bless the invitation, bless the week, Lord, and bless Northwood, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.